little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
Hi, I'm Nick Waterhouse, your old friend here on Monocle Radio. And I'm going to play you a tune called Wreck the Rod. Here we go.
This week on the Sessions at Midori House, we see the return of Nick Waterhouse, whose performances never fail to get us out of our seats and dancing. Nick has just released a new self-titled album, a brilliant blend of rhythm and blues, jazz and rock and roll. Today, Nick Waterhouse and his band squeeze into Studio 2 and the surrounding rooms to play a few tracks from the record and talk about making American music with Monocle's Daphne Karnesis.
Love's not a gamble. Love is a trap. Love is a lovely suicide pact. Can't hold a candle. Can't hold back.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about your new album, your fourth one. It's self-titled. It's called Nick Waterhouse, with all the rock and roll and soul and blues and jazz elements that we know you for. Can you explain the choice and why, for you, it was the right time for a self-titled album?
I was working on the record with my co-producer, Paul Butler, who's an Englishman, and he really helped me make this record not about me, but, you know, my other three records were more like engineered by someone else, and nobody really was like producing me as an artist. And I think Paul was the first person that helped me stop focusing just on making a record for the whole picture and more, you know, right, we're going to work on singing. And he really wanted to cradle everything around me. And before, I think I had this sort of blind spot where I was just making things at this breakneck pace, almost alone in vision. So there were a bunch of working titles. It was going to be called Machine Learning, which is incredibly salient every day. Planes crash and finances crash and cultural upheaval occurs because of machine learning. But I'm glad I named it after myself. It feels like the strongest representation of sort of my value system, both aesthetically and lyrically and as a performer.
And just staying on that point of, you know, the freedom to express who you are artistically and as a musician, I feel that you're someone that people often try to categorize or describe in very specific terms, which I guess is good, but also might be in a way frustrating. And some words, I guess, that have been used to describe your music are things like vintage inspired, revivalist, which I know you disagree with that specific characterization, old school, retro. Either way, you definitely draw inspiration from the past, perhaps from the 60s in particular. I don't know if you agree, but how would you describe your music?
I think I play American music in the continuum of American music. Like,
it's a continuum.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's not Berger. There was this writer that a lot of the modernists were really crazy about in the 1900s who delivered all these dissertations, and like Eliot used to go, and he actually did like a big presentation in 1913, I think, about him. But this concept of like the fact that time, by being chopped up and like made into metrics, places it on a linear framework, that flattens out what the reality of art is. And like, again, the categorization thing has a lot to do with being made into content. So that's how you're going to be consumed. Of course, like a genre exists as a categorization so that people can interact with like a large catalog of works. But increasingly, it's this like cart before the horse feeling that we're living in, where almost now either projects or critics, they live within categories before they engage with like the work. For me, I'm the questions that I have for like the outside world is like, how do you want to engage with history? Like, are we going to ossify mid-century music? You know, if I listen to pop music now in a cab, it's like, wow, that track sounds like it's influenced by a couple different things that might have happened in Detroit in 1987. But what makes that feel contemporary versus like having a saxophone solo and a dotted quarter note? I get to play all this stuff. I think the lack of imagination among critics is actually like a really small thing for me, but it's my only point of interaction with the outside world, unless you're coming into my record and living in my world with me. This number is called Sleeping Pills.
Thank you.
I think your lyrics are quite poetic and the way they're written are quite open to interpretation. For example, just to quote some of the lines from Wreck the Rod, which you're playing for us today. My kind has been put out, some even lost, eyes have been blotted, T's are all crossed, and if you're looking well, baby, don't look back, wreck the rod, bring the strap. I don't know if it's weird someone reciting it back to you like a poem, but what are you intending to do with your lyrics in this album, but also generally?
It's really nice that you chose that verse because that's one of my favorite verses. There's a few layers to that, and one of the layers addresses the earlier question, which is, if you're looking, baby, don't look back, which is about posing a question to a listener. What are you doing here? It's really strange to be able to confront somebody because I spent so much of my youth like listening to records on headphones. And it would be me alone with, you know, Nick Lowe or Aretha Franklin or Carole King. And when you're really young and you haven't been told how to interact with that stuff, you think that they're having a conversation with you. And it's like you walked into a room and they're speaking to you. And so now I have that opportunity. I really liked personal poets like Hart Crane and Frank O'Hara and Emily Dickinson. Those were very private things, the same way that music that I dug and that I hope I'm making like feels. Yeah, a lot of these songs are more about questions than answers, but they're trying to engage somebody in a dialogue. And Wreck the Rod is one of those. I mean, you can get hung up on the superficial aspect that it's like a major key wall of sound arrangement, or you can pay attention to me while you're in the room. This one's called Which Was Writ.
This is all gone. Yes, and I could say, well, that I was wrong. Hey, now.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. This week's guest was Nick Waterhouse, and his new self-titled album is out now. This show was recorded and mixed by Alex Portfelix, researched by Daphne Karnesis, and produced by me, Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time next week when we'll have live music from ex-Metronomy and Christine and the Queen's musician Gabriel Stebbing, who is now operating under the name Nightworks. But until then, thanks for listening.